We're men. We're men in tights. Tights! Tights!
Hey, Ken.
Yeah?
You know what time it is?
No. It's time to eat?
Oh, no.
I mean, that's a question I ask myself all day long. Is it time to eat?
You know, that's a... I'm glad you brought that up, because we're going to talk a little bit about preparing food and eating it as well, but on today's show. But I'm kind of excited. I worked with Ryan. It's Mitchell, right? Your last name.
Correct.
Is Douglas your middle name?
Yes.
You know, I've called you Ryan Douglas for years, brother. I'm so sorry.
It's all good.
But I met, and I know you two have shaken hands. We've done the man thing. We've all...
Of course.
Well, we've all met around. But I used to work with Ryan at Canyon Cafe.
Oh, nice.
He was the chef there for how many years, did you say?
Almost 9 years.
Now, let me ask you something, because we're going to get it right out of the way, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but... Are you formally trained as a chef, or are you self-taught?
Self-taught.
Yeah, in my opinion, that's the best kind, because you don't get caught up with all the little BS.
Yeah.
And I can remember you bringing me stuff going, hey, try this. Hey, try this. I want to do this, then try this. Sauces and all kinds of stuff, man. So, hey, somebody's having a good time.
I mean, we're here. We're here. That's why.
Is that what the deal is?
Yeah, they're celebrating.
You know,
right now.
The first show we recorded here was so quiet.
It was.
You know what I'm saying?
They didn't realize. That's what the problem was.
Was that the deal?
They didn't understand what this meant.
Here's what I think the deal is. I think because we're back here, that sound is coming through and bouncing off the wall.
Oh, it could be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's...
I'm going to stick with they're celebrating the fact that we're here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Poor guy. I've got to pump his ego all the time. I have to call him every day and tell him what a great job he's doing.
Oh. Yeah, yeah. Or I fall into deep depression.
But anyway, I wanted to see if we can't share some recipes, talk about, you looked up to see the difference.
Yeah.
The versus, because typically, you know, I don't know, did we say this when we started the podcast about... Typically, it's the man at home that goes out and earns a living in the old days. We talked about it in an earlier podcast.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
And the women was designed, but that's changed a bunch.
Right.
But still, chefs are primarily male dominated, right?
Yeah.
And what did you say?
That was a weird thing to me, is that traditional roles dictated that a woman's place was in the kitchen. The woman is the one who cooks at the home. Right? Until you went to a restaurant and then, no, you have no business being in here. It's a man. What was that? Anyway, so it's still that way. You know, times have changed drastically, but chefs are predominantly men. I think it's 70%. 70% male.
They're all male.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing this now?
Almost 20 years.
Holy cow.
But if you look at it now, but some of my chefs that I follow are all women though.
That's cool.
So I mean, if you look, I love barbecue, and one of the greatest chefs that I follow, and she's a woman. So I mean, they're creeping up there very slowly.
Oh yeah,
so.
Yeah.
That could be why it makes you a better chef too, is because you learn from a woman. Think I'll get some points for that?
It's got to count for something.
I'm just going to get some points, man. That's all. All right. So, where did you start? Did you start at Canyon Cafe?
I had been in the industry since I was 18, on and off, just knowing people always needed to eat. The industry was not going to die. I got away from it for about 10 years. Then when I moved to Farmington, it was the only job I could find. And then...
Where'd you come here from?
Denver, Colorado.
Denver?
Yeah.
Mile High.
And I just found this job, and I had an executive that believed in me and showed me the ways. And then he said, look, you know, a little Italian chef that said, hey, my grandma would be proud of this Italian food. And I said, And then I just kind of took it a little serious, and I've stayed with it ever since.
Was that at Canyon Cafe?
Yes.
Who was that? Who was there heading?
Jason Depew.
I think it seems like I should know.
You should. Tall guy. He had a ponytail at the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Remember him.
And then he went back home to Arizona, where he had a family. Started family. Settled down with his wife.
Now, did you start learning to cook when you were younger, when you were still living at home?
I think my mom, honestly. I mean, she was a horrible cook. And God bless her. She is my best friend still. But she would cook the same stuff repeatedly over and over and over.
Yeah.
So I just kind of got into it because I needed to cook, you know, needed to eat.
Something different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, my first wife was a decent cook. She wasn't a great cook, but she was a decent cook. But when we were first married, spaghetti was our go-to dish. I just was able to start eating spaghetti again a couple of years ago.
That's like my fiance. Her go-to is barbecue sauce over pork chops and then put it in the oven.
Right.
Oh, that sounds good, though. Is it your is it your homemade barbecue sauce?
No, no.
Yeah. No, then no. No.
You make your own barbecue sauce?
Yes, I do.
Oh.
I make all the way from, I mean, a habanero one, which I won an award with, to, I mean, I have stuff with alcohol in it. I mean.
I want to try the habanero one.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I think I have tried
it. Yeah, you've tried it.
It was a funny thing about him. When I was doing bakery stuff there. We had a Pie Day Friday. I don't know if you remember. Yeah. Record pie sold over, I don't know, 50-something pies and cheesecakes combined. Yeah. One Friday.
Nice.
Yeah. It was great. Well, the church got behind it. Everybody sold it. It was wonderful. But I'd be back there, you know, trying to get all the pies and the bread and all that situated. He'd go, hey, try this. Yeah. He'd hand me a spoonful of some kind of sauce. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's good. But I just had a mouthful of sugar. I don't know. But always trying something. I'll never forget. And you did. You eventually did get a smoker up there of some kind, if I remember right. Because I remember you guys up all night.
Yeah, unfortunately, I caught it on fire, and it was a no-go anymore.
Oh, you didn't ruin it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, trials and tribulations. So what put the fire in your belly then to cook? If your mom, was it because you wanted to cook for yourself?
And my mom, I mean, she used four same ingredients. You know, she never tried anything new. And then when I got pushed over here into when I lived with down here, I mean, my eyes were open and I just had recipe after recipe that I could do, have free reign. So, I mean, I could try this and try that and try this and try that. And then I was like, wow, you know, I mean, I'm good at this.
Yeah, you had a pretty free hand, if I remember correctly. Yeah. You were able to do whatever you wanted to. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why I asked if you started learning while you were at home. When I was a kid, I had zero desire to learn anything about cooking. My brother, he was a different thing. He wanted to know. Mom and grandma, he was always there. And they were the cooks. And so I don't know why I had no desire to learn. So I went a good portion, actually, of my adult life still not learning how to cook, didn't own a grill. Oh, I mean, not even to that extent. So I just didn't do it. And then my first wife was just a crazy, crazy situation. So I started the bachelor cooking. I just got late start on it, right? So I was the bachelor cooking. It was the, you know, mac and cheese, and then let's see what other thing we can put in there to make this mac and cheese interesting. Salsa? Chopped up hot dogs? I mean, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah. And they had a thing called Suddenly Salad, and those are kind of cool. It was easy. You just drop them in the water and boil them. And so that's where it kind of started. And then actually, lately, my girlfriend lets me have full reign of the kitchen. That's the first time I've ever had that. And I can experiment with stuff. And so I start off with a recipe, and then I learn, okay, that's what the recipe does. Now let's figure this out. So let's scrap the recipe now that I know what that does, and we're going to add this and this and this, and we're going to take that out because who needs that, and start kind of changing things around and learning
stuff.
That's
why I love cooking. That's that's how I started, like, take my habanero barbecue sauce. I mean, I literally have 50 habaneros in it.
Ooh.
And it wasn't hot. I mean, I had it toned down to...
Yeah, I don't remember it being that hot.
Yeah, I toned it down to where it is the perfect amount of heat.
Yeah.
I mean, we did the B&B festival with a buddy of mine, and we smoked 96 racks of ribs one year for him.
Oh, man.
And literally people were scraping the bottom of the barrel to get the barbecue sauce.
And then licking the thing off absolutely. That they used to scrape.
I know, and people were like, this is amazing. And I'm like, I'll have to keep note of that because it was something I just, I changed like six times before I was even happy with it.
And that is really cool.
All right, so here, I don't want you to give the actual recipe, but tell us what all it is. Habaneros.
Habaneros, onion, garlic, pineapple juice.
Oh.
That's what does it.
That's
okay, yeah.
And then...
Helps cut the heat.
Yeah, but I would put the pineapples, the habaneros, onions and stuff, and I would cook all that pineapple juice. I mean, I would almost do like 100 ounces of pineapple juice and cook it down to about 3 cups. Make a puree out of it.
Right.
And there's your flavor right there.
Right.
And then just some ketchup and some secret seasonings that I use.
Secret seasonings. Are you related to the Colonel? Seven secret spices?
Yeah.
I can remember though working there, the odors and the stuff that came from the other side. I worked on one side in the actual kitchen. What was the side? It was like a...
Just a little hallway.
Yeah. Had some tables, and my mixer was in there, and I could, you know, do the bread and everything, pies all.
Yeah.
But the kitchen and everything, I can remember being in there going, trying to smell and taste my stuff, and the aromas coming out of the kitchen were so overwhelming, I couldn't...
Yeah.
You know, I was afraid I was over-seasoning. I was putting too much sugar. I was, you know...
You know, that would be... I never thought about that, like, in the kitchen. So when I'm cooking, I don't taste everything constantly. I smell it. So when it smells right, then that's when I leave it alone.
Exactly.
And so I wouldn't be able to, in a situation like that, I wouldn't be able to smell anything but everything else.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to
function. But you have to taste everything.
Yeah.
All my recipes are done by taste.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, if you like to, you should get into using duck fat. Try using duck fat.
Awesome.
Because
it's rich.
Oh, it's the flavor profile on it. I got it from one of the ladies I follow. She's an Australian.
Another woman chef right there.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. She is born in Australia but raised in Texas and got into barbecue. And, oh, my God, her recipes are, like, one of her recipes is roasted potatoes with duck fat.
Really?
Yeah. And it.
Now, why duck fat? Like, I'm a full-on fan of the whole animal fat thing. Mm-hmm. It's actually an important part of our diet.
Oh, yeah, and everything.
And flavor, obviously, but why specifically duck fat?
It's a liquid, I don't know, just the profile of the fat of the duck, because it's fat and greasy, is just amazing. So I started messing with duck fat, and, I mean, I would put it on the potatoes, then I'd put it on vegetables. Then I was like, I'm going to mess it up. I'm going to try it and go with, I put it over burgers.
Yeah.
And it would pull the rest, the natural ingredients of the beef and make amazing.
Really?
Yeah.
So ducks are flying chef accessories.
Pretty much.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Personally, I'm not real fond of duck meat. I mean, I've had good duck on and off.
Yeah.
But the liver or the foie gras.
Yeah, don't do that.
Oh.
But see, that's the problem with duck, though, is your first impression. Have you ever had duck?
Yeah, it's
It was okay.
Yeah.
Because it was the proper way of being cooked. It's one of those, it's going to be hit or miss.
Right.
If you go and talk to anybody,
I haven't had it done right.
Yeah,
I mean, I could take or leave it.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Duck fat, on the other hand.
I'll shoot for it. I mean,
so let's talk about that for a second. So, how would I properly cook a duck? Now, I've lived in Louisiana for several years and duck hunting, wood duck primarily, some mallard, and I cooked those, and I would cook them on a cedar plank, and I always felt like it was better just to throw the duck away and eat the plank. But so how do you? Because I know you're gonna be gamey. I'm talking about domesticated that they raised for that.
Yeah, I see. I haven't messed with duck too much. I've had people cook. I had one buddy that we.
Do you like duck?
I honestly was always scared to try it, but then I had a guy say, "Let me try this recipe for you," and he cooked it, and I was like, "Wow!" But he wouldn't share his recipe with me, so I don't know. But I mean. Just rendering the fat from the duck and getting that oils is just really all I care about.
that's how I feel too.
So is that something that, that you could get at a place like can O duck fat or?
Oh no, I mean you go it, you could go to your natural groceries and get rendered fat and stuff like that.
Okay,
but I mean,
okay.
I mean, have you rendered your own fat from bacon?
No, I don't know what I'm doing. I can cook some things that, that taste pretty good, and I can cook some other things that I'm still learning. And so, yeah, I'm learning. I'm just enjoying the learning process.
Take your fat from a pig.
Yeah.
Just put it in a pan and just slowly melt it down, slowly.
Yeah. Right.
Cast iron, preferably, because you're going to get a better heat on it. And then all the juices... Then filter that, and then there's your duck. There's pig fat right there.
In the South, we always had the Folgers can full of bacon grease, and that was the first ingredient for cooking everything.
Oh, absolutely,
everything. Yeah.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you cook bacon?
I do occasionally.
Do you not save the grease?
So,
if you tell me no, we're done. We're done. No more kisses for you. So,
I'll have chap. No. I'm with a woman who is very particular, like on a whole other level about everything that she eats. So most of the time that we do bacon, it's actually turkey bacon, and I've learned. That it's not all that. It's okay.
I can eat it.
It's okay. I mean, it's not.
Especially when I'm dieting.
Nothing compares to real bacon.
No.
So there's the rare occasion that we have actual real bacon, but because we. She's also obsessed with olive oil, which is great for cooking. But everything has to be cooked in olive oil, so we don't cook with any kind of grease for any reason.
So saving it the other way around would just be. You should actually. I've talked to a doctor, and he had a patient that was very obese and diabetic, and he told him to lose oils, as like olive oils and butters and stuff like that, and just use bacon grease. And the guy lost 75 pounds like that.
Wow!
He just cooked in bacon grease.
Yeah.
So.
Now that I've never heard before.
Because it breaks down better. Because the olive oil does not break.
No, and you can't get olive oil too hot. It'll start to smoke, and that's when it starts breaking down. You're right.
Yeah.
But bacon grease, man, you can get the heat up on it.
Yeah.
And which stops stuff from being, believe it or not, you can fry in bacon grease. If the heat's hot enough, the stuff coming out of the bacon grease is not greasy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's hot, it seals the outside, won't let the grease in.
And it's healthier for you, too, supposedly, is what he told me, but...
I want to believe that.
I ended up... So when I was in the South, right, I was married to this lady who was from the South, and it was all Southern cooking, and it was so amazing. My favorite meal from her was Boston butt pork roast and just rice, steamed tomatoes, fresh steamed tomatoes, beans. I forgot what kind of beans. But you would take the rice... And you would, carve off a hunk of that pork, and then spoon the grease out of there and spoon it across there. Then you put a big helping of rice on there, and then put grease on the rice, and then the tomatoes, and then the beans on top of that, and then again with the grease on top of all that stuff. Oh, it was so amazing. And then and then I ended up in the hospital.
For eating too much?
No.
That was a weird segue.
You went the wrong way.
So, backstory, I ended up in the hospital with Legionnaire's disease, but while we were trying to figure out what I was in there for, because no idea why I was there, they were doing all these tests. And so I stay away from hospitals. I stay away from all of that. I don't go to the doctor. I don't even have a doctor. So I don't know anything about me.
Ken. Your time's coming.
It is.
Yeah. Every 6 months for me, I'm at the doctor's.
So I'm there, and he does a cholesterol test, blood tests and stuff. So he does this cholesterol test, and he's like, oh, yeah, your cholesterol's in great shape. And I'm like, you're dumb. Your test is broken. Every single thing that I eat, I'm I'm just pouring out of a pitcher grease on top of it. So I don't know what your test is saying, but it's the wrong person. But no, it was totally, it was 100% good.
It's going to boil down to anything in moderation. I've learned that, especially like on the diet that I'm on, because I can't really exercise. Getting better, but the diet that I'm on, it comes down to moderation. I can have anything I want.
Right.
But just not as much as
right.
I want.
Just not 2 gallons of it.
Sometimes it's some stuff that just pisses me off.
Right.
Because I can only have so much.
I know.
Yeah.
Who's making these rules?
I don't know. Well, your body.
Yeah, I guess.
All right. I love the fact that we're talking about bacon grease, because I think I think anything in moderation is healthy. And if it tastes good, then I think you should have it. You shouldn't deprive yourself of it.
When those things are natural.
Yeah.
And so my girlfriend's also about that. Like, she has no problem with bacon grease because it's a natural animal fat. And our bodies are used to that and know exactly what to do with it. And so she's fully on board with that. We just don't cook anything with it. So we have salad.
Okay. I would tell you, too, to look at the bacon that you're buying. This is just a tip from the outside.
Yeah.
Don't buy, like, the Bar S or anything. You need to look for the stuff that doesn't have all the additives.
Oh, yeah,
because the
definitely.
Majority of that stuff has additives. You got to go to just about a health food store.
She is an anti-nitrate, nitrates, then, all that kind of stuff. As far, even for her wine, she gets her wine very specifically that doesn't have that stuff in there.
Wow.
She is on another level. Yeah. Yeah, we don't typically put anything into our body that is not food. When you're looking at the ingredients of a thing, if the ingredients, all of the ingredients, are not very specifically recognizable forms of food, we're not eating it.
Well, I've always been told to when you shop, I had a nutritionist tell me when you shop the outside edge of the grocery store, right? Get the fresh stuff only.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if you turn it over and look at the label, if it's a canned or packaged good,
right.
If you can't pronounce what's in the ingredients, don't get it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right. So, all right. Well, listen, I where were we going? I mean, I want to utilize Ryan as much as possible. I'd like to try to steal a recipe from you of any kind. Oh, he's giving me that look.
or if a recipe's too complicated, maybe just like the most amazing tip ever.
Yeah. What can you give us somebody in the kitchen to help? Obviously, you're pro. It don't matter what sex is. If you can cook, you should cook.
Absolutely.
Don't fall into the.
If you enjoy doing it, then do it. I mean, take a recipe. Most of my recipes I borrowed, and then I have kind of tweaked it here and there. I mean, I've worked with. I like my job now is my brother-in-law, and he's trained. He is trained, and he is just so funny to watch because you know if you roast recipes, you got to follow this way and this way. He's like. No, dude, you just throw it all in, and it turns out, like, perfect. I'm like, how do you do that? I do that, and it turns out dry. And, I mean, it's just like, it's just amazing to watch.
All right, I'm gonna elaborate on that just a little bit, because you said I will agree with you on just about any recipe if you're not talking about baking. Baking becomes, to me, I'm a baker, it's a science. And I've not been able just to throw
baking. Like, he'll do, when I first started with him, he's like, he'll take a carrot cake and he will throw dry in with wet and all this.
I would have, there's certain things you can get, I agree with that.
Oh, it's all at the same time. Yeah. He's like, he'll just mix it all together and it turns out perfect. And I'm like,
more for me, I don't know that it's so much mixing it all together at the same time. It's more following the recipe to the T.
Yeah.
Because if you don't like bread, one of my specialties was bread. And I could throw like bacon, I had a beer bacon cheddar bread.
Wow.
So it was one of my best sellers. My other best seller was a jalapeno cheddar bread that was to die for. But I can put all of that ingredients in as long as I kept the formula the same on the bread, because what I noticed was if I changed it just a little bit, it would either be tough or it wouldn't rise. The yeast would not work properly. And there's certain things you can put in it that'll kill the yeast if you're not careful. So I do think that baking, especially when you're coming to breads and that kind of stuff, it's a little bit more precise.
Yes.
Anything else, I agree. I mean, like a carrot cake, I don't like when they say mix the wet and dry, or mix the wet together and the dry. I don't always do. It depends on what it is, you know. But I'll do just like your friend does, and just whatever goes in there.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. The whole, all of my cooking takes place on the top of the stove. That magical mystery door that opens up, and there's a cavity in there. I have no idea what happens in there, and that's where all of baking takes place. And,
I can't do it. You even had me confused there for a minute. What the hell is it?
Yeah, the oven. The oven's off limits. I don't know what happens in that place.
Well, I can tell you that. I can remember the days. I loved working at the Canyon Cafe because where they do the cooking, the griddle, and there's a big pan. The metal pan sits on top of the shelf across there. It's about this thick, big old metal pan. What was it, 11 by 14 mm-hmm. or something, full of bacon.
Oh.
Cooked, ready to eat. So, you know, I can remember Anna coming up, what happened to all the bacon?
That's
every time I walk by and grab a piece of bacon.
I was going to say, that's either the most amazing perk ever or cruel and unusual punishment, man.
I grabbed probably more than I should have.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was certainly good.
I mean, it's bacon. You have to.
They're putting bacon in donuts now. I mean, come on, it's going in everything. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
All right, so did we get a recipe from Ryan at all? Or some tips? What kind of tips, Ryan?
Yeah.
We're almost out of there. We got a little time, but I also want to give you an opportunity to say whatever you want to say.
If you enjoy it, do it. I mean,
don't let it intimidate you.
Don't let it intimidate you. Feel free to expand on it. I mean, explore it. I mean, you're not going to know until you try it. I mean, I have my 6-year-old daughter cooking. I mean, I'll let her use a full chef knife. Everyone's like, you're crazy. I'm like, I explained to her how to use it, cut it. I said, and you're not doing it without supervision, you know? And I mean, she cooks better than most of the 40, 50-year-olds I've worked with, 30-year-olds. I mean, because she's not afraid. I mean,
yeah. Right. Yeah.
She has no preconception.
Yeah. You know, kids are great with that because they don't have, like, learned fears yet.
No, yeah. But her grandpa, I mean, taught her how to use or cook with smoke barbecue ribs. And she compares that to everything, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
All right, I have a question for you. Because I had my boy up. Hey, well, you know.
Yeah.
I had him up frying potatoes when he was, you know, 4 or 5 years old. I put a chair up to the stove and he fried potatoes, man. But the thing he wanted to do was crack an egg. Because I cracked the egg every morning.
Yeah.
Dad, when can I crack an egg? Son, when you turn 7, you can crack an egg. You can crack the eggs for breakfast. Yeah. When he was... At 1 o'clock, the morning he turned 7 o'clock, he's standing next to my bed. And I just happened to wake up and catch him. He's standing there, and as soon as my eyes open, can I crack an egg now? I couldn't help myself, man. Because, you know, awesome. He was the last. He was the baby. He was the last, you know, and he came along late in my life. So, man, I got my butt out of bed, and his mom is going, where are you going? We're cooking breakfast.
We're cracking eggs, man.
She goes, it's 1 o'clock in the morning.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. It's his birthday.
I made a promise.
That's right.
That's awesome.
So, is your daughter cracking eggs yet? I'm going to be jealous.
Yes.
Oh, damn it. I hope he doesn't listen to this because he'll be pissed.
Yeah. She loves cooking. And I mean, honestly, she was a picky eater growing up. I mean, from 6 to when she started eating real food. And now that I've let her have full reign, she opens her palates now, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
I should have done this earlier with you.
Yeah, because you start thinking about food in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, I'll give you another tip, too. Those of you that have young kids that are picky eaters, the way I got Hayden, my older kids, they just, if I set it in front of them, they had to eat it. Hayden, I would tell him, listen, dude, just taste it. Just take a bite. If you don't like it, you can spit it out. You don't have to eat it. And because of that, he eats, he'll try anything, anything. My two older ones, now Matt, my older boy, he'll try just about anything. But my daughter, she won't touch fish to this day, which breaks my heart,
because of fish.
But I would just say, you know, let them spit it out if they don't like it, and then don't make them eat it.
I told her mine when she wanted, I said, if I'm going to take this time to teach you to cook, you're going to try everything.
Good idea.
She's like, no. And I said, I don't care if it's a bite. You're going to try it. Yeah. And then she just was like, okay. And more and more. She's like, not the pickiest eater as I thought.
That's part of the process, right? So, absolutely. You have to try it all. Or you don't know what you're cooking or why or how.
Or what you're sitting down in front of somebody else.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. All right, Ryan, we're out. But I want to give you a shot. I mean, you're welcome to add whatever. I'm going to give Ken a shot, too, because, you know, he's my partner. And if I don't, when we're out in the parking lot, he yells at me when people... I'm kidding. I'm only serious. No. But I would like to... Anything you want to say. I mean, if you just want to say hello to Mom, that's fine. This will probably go live in about 3 weeks, I think. 3 or 4 weeks.
Somewhere near.
4 weeks. Yeah, 3 weeks, something like that. So, anything?
Not really.
I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
Oh, no. I mean, there's so many young, inspiring chefs out there. I mean, if you want to do it, go for it. Just know it is long and gruesome because it's long hours until...
Make sure you love it.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I wish I would have taken care of my body a long time ago. But just be prepared for how long and sweat and tears that you're going to have to put into the industry.
Gotcha. Well, you're looking great, man. You look very happy. I'm glad you've got a lady that you're interested in.
Thank you.
But you look good. It's good to see you. It was good to even when you answered back, I thought, oh, wow, he's going to do it. And I appreciate it because it was kind of last minute. I just asked you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show, man.
We'll try to do this where we can set it up in the kitchen sometime, too. So down the road. We're going to try to produce a show every week. So, and I'm sure we're going to take a hiatus. I'm not sure when that is yet. Probably around the same time you take your hiatus. So, we'll set up a time. We'll come set up in the kitchen and we'll cook and we'll have video because that's the next thing is we'll start live streaming everything.
Nice.
All right, Mr. Collins, what do you think?
I think we're good, man.
Did you get a wealth of information today?
I don't know if we're good, but what you cook is good. I'm trying the freaking... Okay, so we're going to list out the ingredients when we post this. We're going to list out the ingredients in the recipe for your your habanero barbecue sauce. That's what we agreed on. I think I heard that.
Well, I got the ingredients because I don't have the quotients.
Right.
But I do think the secret weapon is the pineapple sauce.
Yes.
Yeah. Pineapple sauce, pineapple juice.
Pineapple juice.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the secret weapon. Well, thanks to our technical guy over there with the camera, J.R. Sykes. I picked him up off the street. I don't know.
I know he wandered in.
Yes. And I know he didn't want a haircut because look how long his hair is. Thank you, man.
No problem.
Ken, anything else? I'm going to shut this baby down.
That's it.
All right. We'll see you guys next week.
Thanks for coming.
You bet. Oh, yes. Thanks, everybody, for coming. Thanks for listening. We'll see you guys next week.